As AirVenture 2018 happens, we are less than 18 months away from the deadline for ADS-B equipage. And we're talking to David Gray, who's the program manager from the FAA for Surveillance and Broadcast Services. David, welcome.
Thanks, Mike.
So the countdown continues. Do we just about have people believing that you're not going to move the deadline?
I hope so. We continue to get that question on a regular basis. Is the deadline going to move? And the answer, as recently as yesterday when the administrator did his session, was no. January the 1st, 2020 is firm. The rule was published in 2010. The requirements haven't changed. The FAA's infrastructure to be able to receive the ADS-B data has been in place since 2014. We're ready. We're waiting for pilots.
So, David, how's the progress been? How are we doing with numbers in terms of people who have outfitted their aircraft compared to the people who still need to outfit their aircraft?
Well, we've certainly had an uptick over the last year. Every year it gets more and more people are equipping, so more people are realizing that the data is firm, that it might affect them, and they need to equip, and this is kind of the wave of the future from surveillance.
So do you have the raw numbers?
Yeah. In June, we crossed the 50,000 aircraft mark, and right now we're about 55, so okay. We're getting a couple thousand a month in the aggregate. The total population of aircraft that we think might need to equip is potentially as high as 160,000. Based on how people are flying in the past, to the degree people decide to change their flying habits in the future, that might affect those numbers. But
so, can you summarize for us who needs it?
Sure. The rule is an airspace rule. So if you're going to fly in any of the airspace where it's required, you need it. So that airspace is in the U.S. above 10,000 feet. And if you're flying in around our larger airports, so if you're flying Class C airspace or Class B or the Mode C veil surrounding Class B, or if you're flying over Class B or Class C, it's going to be required to equip.
So when you talk about the Class B airspace and the Mode C veil, I assume if you're in a satellite airport that's under or within the Mode C veil, you need it.
That's right.
Okay.
And if you're going to try to go over the top of it, you need it.
That's right. There's also, so basically it's wherever you need a transponder today. If you're required to have it today, a transponder, you're going to need ADS-B in 2020. And then in addition, along the coast in the Gulf of Mexico, okay. There's a little band of airspace that's not required for transponders, but is required for ADS-B.
So what are, besides the deadline question, which I'm sure is a popular one, what are some of the other questions that you've been fielding this week in the FAA booth?
We tend to get questions about how do you know if your equipment is working properly. And to address that, we actually have an online tool where you can go to your favorite search engine and type in ADS-B performance report. It'll pull up a form and you type in some information about your aircraft and the equipment you've got installed. It takes a couple of minutes to do, and then you get an email with a report about the performance of your equipment to make sure that all the parameters are right.
So for a pilot who's considering a purchase, I understand that you have a
Can I jump in with a question before you go there?
Sure.
Just one more, and I'll cut all this stuff out.
Yeah.
So how does it know that? Is it looking back in the records to see if your aircraft has ever been pinged or picked up and then pulls that data?
No, it actually asks it asks for the flight the aircraft number, and it asks for the day that you're interested in flying. So we don't go and look at all the information. You tell us, hey, on this day, I flew with my ADS-B equipment, and give me the information from that flight.
So it does pull history.
It does pull history, and it'll analyze it. It looks for exceptions. So we have a lot of people who have missing data elements. So this means that, you know, there's data that's required by the rule that's just not coming out of your, that's not coming out of the box. We also have issues with people who have elements that are programmed incorrectly at installation, and so those also need to be fixed. And then we have some other wonky stuff that can come from bad wires or faulty kind of installation issues that are kind of a little bit more random.
So David, in addition to the performance report, can you address pre-purchase? Do you have some tools on the FAA website that will help a pilot go through what he needs for equipment based on what he already has in his airplane?
Well, we do have some information. We have a website, EquipADSB, and I think, again, you can go to the your search engine and look for that. There's an FAA website. And we have a list of all the various equipment that's been TSO'd and STC'd for installation. You have to make sure that the transponder, the box itself, is compatible with your position source. So you need a GPS and you need the ADS-Bs, and they have to be paired.
They have to play well with each other.
That's right, and there has to be a certification process in order to make sure that that pairing works. And so you want to go through and make sure all that matches for your aircraft. You also need to make sure that you match your operation to the equipment you're going to be doing. So for people who are volunteering for like Angel Flight or Pilots for Paws or something like that, and you need to change your call sign, you got to make sure your ADS-B equipment will also allow you to change the call sign instead of just program in your IN number. Because if that's different from what you file in the flight plan, the controllers start to get alerts.
Sure.
So it's January 2020. And somebody hasn't been able to make the deadline or hasn't cared to, what can they expect to happen if they end up in airspace where it will be required then?
Well, so that gets into the compliance philosophy. Generally, we're going to be looking for people who are, repeat offender type things. So if you're flying in and out of airspace, you don't have the equipment, you're in violation of the regulation, and you'll probably start to get contacted if you're doing that on a regular basis. So exactly what flight standards will end up doing or not is still being worked out specifically, but the long and the short is if you're going to go in that airspace, you need the equipment.
We're talking with David Gray, who's the program manager from the FAA for the Air Traffic Organization Surveillance and Broadcast Services Program. So what's the current thinking about how much time there is left to do installs and how many shops there are to do them?
So we've got less than a year and a half now. So that's not actually a lot of time, especially if you haven't started your planning. So you have to understand your aircraft, what equipment you need. You need to find an installation shop that'll do it and find a slot for that. Some of them, depending on your aircraft, some of the installation shops I'm understanding are full for several months. Depending on the extent of the installation you want to do, that's really going to drive how long. If you are going to go just for a very basic, rule compliant, bottom of the requirements kind of installation, that can be done potentially in a day or two. I don't want to speak for shops, but it's a much simpler installation than if you want to replace your panel and make it into a glass cockpit and, you know, get the ADS-B in and all that kind of stuff. That'll be a much more extensive. So you need to work with them to figure out when to get it done and how long it'll take, but time's a waste. So
you just touched on my next question. We've been primarily talking about the simple installation for the ADS-B out to meet the minimum requirement. What are the advantages and capabilities of ADS-B in?
ADS-B really takes surveillance into the 21st century. All of our previous technology has been ground-based, so you're dependent on where the FAA has invested in, you know, several million dollars in a TRACON and a radar and those kinds of things. And there's a lot of low-altitude airspace where you don't have surveillance. I think you guys know that. ADS-B is portable. It goes with you wherever. And from a controller standpoint, we've got much better ADS-B coverage than we do with radar coverage from the way the installation was done from the ground infrastructure. So we've got a bunch of airspace below radar coverage where traffic control can already see you.
Like mountainous terrain, for example.
Mountainous terrain, there's even places in the Midwest where it's pretty flat, but the existing radars are far enough apart that, you know, you might fly in an airport where there's, you know, not radar coverage for a couple thousand feet, and we might have ADS-B at, you know, 500 or 600 feet, something like that. Mm-hmm. So air traffic control can see you. Other pilots can see you to the degree they have ADS-B in. That makes you safer. And if you have the ADS-B in package, you also you can see them. You can also see transponder-equipped aircraft through Traffic Information Services broadcast. That's a TISB product that we broadcast up. And if you're on the UAT receive link, you can get Flight Information Services broadcast, which is weather and traffic information and things like that.
Valuable tool, then.
I've heard it's transformational. We have so many anecdotal stories about, I had no idea how much traffic was out there. Since I got my equipment, I've had situations where I was, you know, I would have had an NMAC or potentially worse, but my ADS-B gave me the situation awareness that I needed in order to keep me safe. It really is a transformational tool.
So does the long-range timeline have the retirement air traffic surveillance radars?
That is part of the big picture. We won't get rid of them all, but we do feel like ADS-B is another layer of surveillance. And how many layers do you need, right? So there are places where we think we'll be able to get rid of some of the legacy infrastructure and rely on ADS-B in those airspaces.
When a controller is looking at a display and they've got data from radar and data from ADS-B, how does the system determine what truth is?
The automation actually has a process where it does what we call fusion. So it takes all of the data from all the sources that are available and kind of mushes them together mathematically into one report for the controller. And if you're ADS-B equipped, there's an indicator that the controller can have on that'll tell them that they have ADS-B data contributing to that or not. And then it takes all that in it, and it puts it on the display at a higher update rate for the controllers.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
I mean, wow. I had no idea.
We actually talked to some air traffic controllers during this week.
One of them mentioned the word fusion and just kind of kept on going. I wanted to go, wait a minute.
Now I'm connecting the dots a little bit.
So in the few days remaining here during AirVenture 2018, for folks who want more information, where can they go? And by the way, personal advertisement, go. What you're about to talk about, people should go. It's a terrific source of information, but go ahead.
So we have a booth over in the FAA Safety Center that's a next-gen booth, but we've got a lot of ADS-B information. We've got several experts there who are eager to hear people's questions and dialogue with you about your specific airplane, about your specific airspace, the kinds of operations you do, and to help you understand what you need, what you don't need come 2020. So over at the FAA Safety Booth.
Highly recommended. David Gray, who's the program manager for the FAA Air Traffic Organization Surveillance and Broadcast Services Program, thanks for spending time with us.
It's been a pleasure.
For Paul Preindecker, I'm Stuck Mike, and you're listening to EAA Radio.